back to the Illinois Agronomy Roundup. I'm your host, Troy Kazire, here at the Bear Crop Science Learning Center in Monmouth, Illinois. And today we've got an awesome guest back with us again for another episode, and that's Lance Tarchione, a technical agronomist with the Cal Basgrow here in Illinois. How you doing, Lance?
Good. I'm like a bad penny. I just keep coming back.
We're happy to have you back. That's all right. We'll keep trying to shine that penny. Hey, why don't you remind us about kind of where your geography is and the area that you cover?
Yeah, will do. And we've some changes we've had here recently, I've actually picked up this Warren County area again. So we're really happy that I don't have to trespass to come to Monmouth anymore. So that's good. So I cover 8 counties, which would be Henderson, Warren, Knox, Hancock, McDonough, Fulton, Tazewell, and Logan County would be my area for salesmen or FSRs cover those 8 counties, and that would be the geography that I work in every day, and live northern Fulton County around London Mills.
Okay, kind of a west central Illinois geography.
Yeah, that's what I call it. It's what west central Illinois is different depending on what part of Illinois you're in, but I call this west central. Yes.
Certainly downstate, right? Because we're below Rockford. So we got, we want to talk a little bit today about fungicide decisions, and that's if you kind of take a look at the way these cornfields have progressed this season. You know, we started out with things looking kind of tough. Once that plant sort of transitioned over from being supported by the seed to trying to establish its own root system, a lot of areas really hadn't had a lot of rain by that time. It was pretty hot, pretty windy, and some of that corn was looking pretty tough. And but once it got those roots established, and a lot of these areas have gotten some rain now, and things have kind of moderated, we got some pretty good looking corn out there for the most part, and really looking like we've probably got some pretty decent yield potential and something worth protecting, right? Now we're, we got guys thinking about, okay, maybe what, obviously we know what the commodity market situation is like, but we need to be thinking about, okay, do we pull the trigger on making a fungicide application and trying to protect that yield?
Right. I agree with you, Troy. I think a month ago people were pretty discouraged at not only the commodity prices, but also the appearance of the crop. And we got off to a tough start. It was wet. We had replanting. We had ponded areas. We had yellow corn all over the place. And you had a lot of fields that a month ago you weren't terribly proud of, and you weren't sure that they were would be good enough quality field to have the potential to justify investment in the fungicide. And fast forward to today, and I think a lot of people are pretty proud of their corn. The stands aren't perfect. Yeah, there's some holes. Yeah, there's some replant areas, a little bit of unevenness. But in general, I think the crop looks pretty good. Beans are growing slow, as they always do at this stage of the game. But with recent moisture, that's probably going to kickstart them a little bit. So yeah, I think the crop is definitely looking like it deserves to not be given up on. And we still have the challenge around commodity prices, so I've been getting lots of questions from producers about, well, is it really justifiable with $3 corn and $8 beans for round figures to invest, say, $30 an acre in a fungicide application? And if you look at the last couple of years of trials that we've done with Delaro giving us a pretty consistent 15 bushel in corn and pretty consistent 6 bushel in soybeans when you put insecticide with it, at R3, the ROI is not 2-to-1 because of where we're at on commodity prices, but it is about 1.5-to-1. On average, I think fungicides can still be profitable for the producer. If you're trying to prioritize fields, I'd still look at stands. I'd still look at uniformity. I still think, and especially in corn, I'd feed my faster horses, so to speak. So I would be more willing to make that investment in a good field versus trying to resurrect a bad one with a fungicide application. So, if a field's 40% replant, yeah, that might not be the first field that I would choose. But if you're thinking a cornfield has 200 plus bushel yield potential at this point in time, I certainly think there's a good opportunity for a positive ROI on that fungicide application.
Yeah, and I think, and you know, you and I kind of walked through the math, and that's a little bit difficult to do on a podcast when you can't really see it in front of you. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the overall picture, and again, you look at the average return that we've seen, and that does assume, probably important, I think, to point out, that does assume an insecticide included with the fungicide in a soybean application at
right.
R3.
Yep.
That is something.
I wouldn't do one without the other.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. We do tend to see kind of that synergistic bump. You know, when we combine the two, we've seen that pretty consistently. So it really does pencil out pretty favorably when you look at, you know, even that compared to just commodity prices going up a dollar a bushel.
Yeah, and soybeans probably pencil a little better than corn. It's I've probably shared this before when I've talked to you, but it's interesting as I talk to growers. You know, there's a group that really believes in fungicide in corn, but not in soybeans. There's a corresponding group that believes in it in soybeans and not in corn. There's the group that believes in it in both, and then there's the group that believes in it in neither. And I almost think those four buckets of growers are about the same size. There's about a fourth of the growers that fall into each of those categories, and they tend not to move the category they're in very, very often. But our data at Bayer would say that soybeans have been the more consistent ROI, more so than corn. Both have been positive, but when you look at a 6-bushel increase in soybeans, and if you're assuming that you're applying your soybean fungicide with a ground rig, which I know not everybody does, but you know, if you do, you've got a little less application cost in that soybean application, which is probably going to about be offset by the addition of the insecticide. So, you know, probably by the time it's all said and done, if you're flying a fungicide on in corn and driving a fungicide plus an insecticide on in soybeans, your cost of doing that per acre is probably going to be fairly similar in both crops. And if you do the math on 6-bushel $8 beans, you know, that's about an extra $48 in value you're creating on your soybeans. And if you look at an extra 15-bushel of $3 corn, that's $45 on corn. So the math is not terribly different between the two crops. But that being said, I think there are perceptions that exist, and it's hard to change perceptions that, you know, if you believe in it on corn, you're probably going to do your corn. If you believe in it on beans, you're probably going to do your beans. If you believe in it on both, you might do both. And if you believe in it on neither, you know, this probably isn't the year with the commodity prices we have today that it's going to entice a lot of new people to try fungicide for the first time. We do have a nice program through climate with Dallara where you can set up side-by-sides in a field and have some performance assurance that goes along with that. If you've got the right equipment and the right field and the right scenario, might be something to talk to your retailer about, see if you would qualify for that. But we don't probably anticipate a lot of people that have historically not used fungicide to choose this year as the year they decide to start trying.
Just thinking about financial incentives too, Dallara would also, assuming a person qualified for the Bayer Plus Rewards
exactly.
program,
yeah.
Dallara would be a part of that, and there could be some additional financial incentive there as well.
Right, as would Leverage 360, which is the insecticide yep. that we typically recommend in soybeans. Depending on where you're at in Bayer Plus, if Dallara ended up being your fifth product, you could be earning significant rebate on those acres of Dallara. So yeah, certainly take advantage of the marketing programs if you qualify for those, and that can just make it that much easier to have a positive outcome from a profitability standpoint with that fungicide application. On the corn side, not so much on soybeans, but on corn you've got the added benefits, the way people justify making fungicide investments as far as improved harvestability, better standability, better opportunities for late harvest if you get in that situation. I talked to a lot of growers that say they can tell they just have a higher travel speed at harvest time in fields that have gotten a fungicide at tassel time. Fewer dropped ears, better ear retention, you know, fewer lodged stalks. It's just a more enjoyable field to harvest because it's in better shape when it's going through the combine.
Yeah, some less tangible benefits, but definitely, you know, tougher to put a dollar amount on those, but definitely when we start talking about time that it takes to harvest, that's certainly a factor. Time and fuel and those types of things.
And peace of mind, too. I think that's very difficult to put a dollar figure on that, but, you know, I think growers that believe in fungicide, they just feel better knowing that that stalk's in better shape, the plant's in better shape, the integrity's better, and, you know, when you get into a delayed harvest scenario or you can't get it out timely or we have some weather events prior to harvest, you just feel better knowing that that plant's in better shape.
So let's talk a little bit about Dallaro itself. You know, it's a fairly unique product out there in the marketplace. Two active ingredients. It's got estrobilurin, trifloxystrobin. It's got a triazole, prothioconazole. If you're keeping score, those are the two mm-hmm. AIs. But one of the unique pieces of that is that triazole that's in there. It's in there at a little bit higher rate to make sure that we've got residual for both the strobe and the triazole through the, you know, kind of the residual time period matches up for both of those. In other words, you don't run out of one and you end up with just one AI out there from a residual standpoint. And that from a durability standpoint, from a control standpoint, that's pretty important.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the, you know, the strobilurins and the triazoles, they do different things. They control different species. They have different, you know, the strobilurins are primarily responsible for the plant health benefits that we talk about. The triazoles are probably stronger on actual disease control, especially if you don't get the timing quite right. You've already had some disease that's gotten started. And it really is the loading of the triazole and the particular chemistry in the triazole. It's a very unique product from the standpoint of it has the crop safety that enables us to put that high rate out there, which extends the residual control, gives you stronger control, and really it is that triazole piece in Dallaro that we think makes it a premium product and really gives us the consistency. We're proud of the fact that in, you know, the trials we've done over the past couple of years, we've had a 90% positive yield bump rate in both corn and soybeans, and we think it's the two particular actives and the loading of those actives and the rate of those actives that you know, gives us that consistency of seeing a positive response, and I think that's something that maybe isn't always well understood. And fungicides are different. You know, there's lots of products on the market. New products coming out all the time. A lot of times it's not necessarily new actives, but it might be a different ratio or, you know, maybe, you know, throw another ingredient into an existing product. So there is, it is hard for people to, you know, when you don't do this every day to know, well, what, you know, what is the best product out there and what should I be using? And there are other good products as well. So it's, you know, it's not just Dallaro that can have these benefits, but is a very premium product in the marketplace and gives us some real advantages. One particular advantage I think might be nice to have this year is with that high load of triazole in there and the wide window of application that we've got. If you do have a cornfield that is a little uneven, which a lot of them are, and you're trying to wait to make that application until the least mature part of the field is mature enough that you don't run the risk of applying too early and causing some injury. I think a product like Dallaro would give you that wider window of application. And if you are of the mindset that you like to scout for disease and decide when to make your application based on disease development, it's ideally suited for that approach as well because of that high triazole loading. You can wait till some disease starts to develop before you pull the trigger and still get very good control. So you don't have to rely on just the preventative piece. You can, you know, let that curative triazole help you out there as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. With the unevenness we're seeing in some of these cornfields, that flexibility of timing, I think could be pretty important this year. That's kind of a nice additional benefit. So
yeah, we talk about the, you know, the window of application being VT to R2 basically, which would be brown silk and corn. You know, I've always been more of a VT timing guy. You know, a lot of people don't like to be in a cornfield every 2 or 3 days at pollination timing. It's not one of the most enjoyable places to be that time of year, and a lot of people just aren't going to scout religiously to catch disease development. And before DeLauro came along, I was always worried about being too late, because if you were too late and the disease got too progressed, or you missed that plant, that sweet spot in the plant health timing, you really limited your odds of having a profitable yield response. But you know, with a product like DeLauro, you do have the ability to, you know, be a little late with your timing, or drag your feet a little bit on your timing, waiting for the disease to come along. Oftentimes when we're spraying corn at VT, there's almost no disease out there, and we get questions a lot. Well, you know, would it be better to wait until the disease is starting to develop? And I do think that DeLauro gives you the flexibility to manage fungicide a couple different ways, and you know, the timing piece is probably a little bit less critical with it than it is some other products.
Yep, very good. I appreciate the insight, Lance. Appreciate the time taken with us today. Do you anything else on your mind right now? What are you keeping your eyes out for here over the next couple of weeks?
You know, certainly you know, we're coming up on, you know, the tail end of the dicamba window. We got that extended to June 25th because of the 5 days that we lost earlier there in the spray season. So basically by later this week we need to be wrapped up with dicamba applications, and frankly any product that has a cutoff of flowering we really need to be wrapped up with, because yep. Soybeans are going to be, you know, most soybeans are starting to flower or will be very soon, and there's a whole host of products that R1 or flowering is the cutoff point, not just for dicamba. So you know, weed control in soybeans is going to be, you know, certainly a hot topic through the rest of the summer, and our residuals work very, very, very good. So I've seen fields that have had, you know, virtually clean fields before the post application was made, and that's really what we want to see.
Yep, absolutely.
We can't be relying on the post products to save the day the way we did 10 years ago. So you want to be spraying fields post that are clean, and so I think we'll have lots of opportunities to see fields where residuals were managed the right way and fields where they weren't, and the differences in outcome there. But you know, seeing some nutrient deficiencies in some fields, some potash, some sulfur in corn, I think the recent rains will help bring some of that stuff around. And really very thankful for the moisture that hopefully most people caught this week. I think that'll get us to pollination good, and assuming we can catch some good rains through July, you know, pretty optimistic on prospects at this point. So we'll just continue to monitor things, and if we see something going on that people need to know about, we'll get back together and talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you mentioned potassium and sulfur, and I think that's definitely a good topic for another podcast, but I think that's something, you know, the management of those two nutrients in particular is something we need to be thinking about here for the near future. So again, Lance, thank you for coming in. Appreciate your time. And thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Illinois Agronomy Roundup. Thank you.